2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I'm going to start with a story that I don't a lot of times start with stories, but I'm going to start with a personal story of a vacation that my family, we got to take years ago down to Carlsbad Caverns. How many of you have been to Carlsbad Caverns? Anybody here been into Carlsbad? Okay. Well, we took the tour, got down into the depths, of Carlsbad Caverns. And during the tour, they turned the lights off. And you could not see the hand in front of your face. It was so dark. Now, your brain, there's a sensation that your brain does where you think you can actually see it, but you can't see it. And you heard a pitch black, that's pitch dark. It was so dark. And matter of fact, the ranger, and then after a short time, they turned the lights back on. Everybody's like breathing a sigh of relief. Thank you for the lights, you know. We learned in that, and they taught us, and our children were there and listening, and they said, you never go into a cave unless you have three sources of light. You don't ever go in with just one source of light. Oh, I got my cell phone. I'll be okay, right? Don't go in with one. That's a bad choice. Don't go in with two sources, but you need three sources of light. And I still feel that Mr. White, who discovered it because of all the bats that were flying in the sky, he's wondering, where are they coming from? He found the natural entrance and walked down into Carlsbad Caverns. Now, it's amazing. If you ever get a chance to go there, you really should go and see it for yourselves. But they do have lights all along the way, and thank God there's light. And I mention that because light is so important to help you find your way in the darkness. And I thought many a times the value of a little light, knowing my mind went to the years that I worked at Christmas delivering packages after dark, which, we love delivering in the dark. You know, that's our favorite occupation. So they change the clocks just for us and make it a dark an hour earlier just for us, delivering packages. So I get a nice headlamp and put that headlight on. Can't wear it too long, you get lightheaded. Excuse me. Anyway, I put that thing on, and that's free, folks. It didn't cost you anything extra, okay? The humor, I know it's bad, but go ahead and still listen. But I would wear that because it kept me from tripping over toys and yards and things like that, that if you didn't have that to see each step, you're really going to have a long, painful evening. And light is so important. And I say that as the beginning. Say, what's that have to do with 2 Chronicles chapter 34 with Josiah? Well, Josiah is a great character in the Bible because under Josiah, I think he's one of my favorite kings. He started reigning when his reign began as a boy. He was just 8 years of age. And I want you to know that there was a administrative, there was a change of administrations from Manasseh. 55 years of Manasseh. We think 8 years is 4 years, a long time in this country, right? 55 years of Manasseh, followed by 2 years of Ammon, who was no better. But then all of a sudden we have a breath of fresh air comes along, Josiah. And Josiah is a boy. It says he was 8 years old when he began to reign. But you want to talk about a light in a dark place? Was Josiah. Because the darkness of those days in the nation of Israel, it was suffocating. Manasseh not only worshipped Baal, they brought into God's house, into the temple, the articles and items of all the Baal worship and defiled it in such a way that it's believed by some Bible scholars, but that was when the Spirit of God, during the reign of Manasseh, is when the glory of the Lord departed from the temple. And that's debatable, but it's very possible because of the reign of wicked Manasseh. But now you have Josiah. And a great revival took place during the years of Josiah. He reigned for 31 years. I mean, he died at the age of 39 prematurely in a battle that he really didn't have any business getting involved in. You can read that on your own. That's later. But in this chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, we have the story. And in verse 3, look with me. At verse 3, it says, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young. Okay, so wait a minute. That would be 16 years then. If he started at 8, he'd be a teenager. And it says, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Isn't that a blessing? As a teenager, and I can relate to that because that's the age I was when I really turned my life over to God. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. I just surrendered my life to God. I had gotten saved right before my 16th birthday. Thankfully, before I took my driver's test, you know, before I went out on my own driving, I was saved. And so the Lord was with me. So I had, I remember those days. But I'm thinking in Josiah's life, I can relate to that. As a teenage boy, he started to seek after God. That's a good thing, to seek God, is it not? As a teenager. And here he is. It says that in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So he turns 20, and as a young man at 20 years of age, he starts to root out and starts to tear down and reform and put into action some of these renovations. Basically, he's getting rid of all of the Baal worship. It's very interesting, and I should have marked the reference down here. I think I can remember it. Let me make sure I've got it here, because I want you to see this. It might be in 2 Kings, so I wish I would have written it down. I thought I had it down, but there was a prophecy that was told that by name over 300 years prior to this, that a man named Josiah was going to burn the bones of the priests upon this altar. He's speaking to Jeroboam, and this prophet spoke to Jeroboam. And again, this is 300 years before this time. And this prophet told him upon this altar, and that's the altar that Jeroboam set up for the false worship in Bethel. And he said, upon this very altar, and he gave the name, he says, Josiah will burn the bones of the priests that offered offerings on this. You can look it up and find it. I apologize to you for not having written that down. But so he gave the name. And here he is. He shows up on the scene, Josiah. And sure enough, during all of this purging and all of this reformation, he takes and he does just that. Look at verse 5. It says, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars. It's 1 Kings 13:2. It's right there in my reference. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2 is where it was mentioned. But it's fulfilled right in this verse 5. He burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon and even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Wow, you talk about zealousness. He was overtaken with a zeal for God to purge the nation of Israel from this heinous, evil, but wicked worship of Baal that had so just caused the nation to rot and decay in their spiritual walk with God. And 50 years, 57 years, I mean, you're talking about from Hezekiah was the last really good king, and then you have 57 years of darkness. And now all of a sudden here you have a little bit of light. This young man, Josiah, and then as a teenager, and then as a young man. And so he's still going. He gets all of this. He's starting to make all of these great strides and clean house, literally. He's literally cleaning house from one administration to another. Almost sounds kind of parallel to this today, doesn't it? Wasn't going to make mention of that, but you can't miss it. But here, again, think about here you have the revival that took place. And I want you to look at verse number 8 now. So now in the 18th year of his reign, you can do the math, he's 26. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah and Maaseiah, that's how I would say it, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, all of this time, they've been taking all this junk out and getting rid of all the Baal worship. And now that they've removed it and basically disinfected everything, they've got to go back in and start repairing that which was broken down and to restore it back to what it once was. But it takes money. And so they had to gather the money. And that's what you see here beginning in this verse. And it says, the verse 9, when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hands of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. And it goes on and talks about all of these things that happened. And so the renovations start. All of this, it's all good. Everything's happening. And all of this leads up to what the main point I want to get to. Look down in verse number 14. This is the discovery. Hilkiah, he's the priest. He finds a book of the law of Moses. Now, number one, how do you lose the Bible in the church? I mean, they lost in the temple of God, the house of God, they had lost. And this is just one of the scrolls. It's not, you think, oh, it's the whole, you think of a book. They didn't have books. It was a scroll. Which book? I don't know. But it was one of the books of the law of Moses. Could have been Deuteronomy. Could have been any of the five. But it says, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king. Now all of this previously that Josiah has done is, remember, prior to this point. All his reformations, okay? He's going by what he knows to be right, what he's been taught, and I'm sure he's had, at 8 years of age, I'm sure he had some good counselors and good people that guided him to tell them what was right. And he knew enough and had enough common sense to know that what had been going on all those years wasn't right, and he was getting it right. But now he gets to this point where they bring him, believe it or not, he's there one day, and somebody says, hey, guess what we found? He said, we found one of the books of the law of Moses. And it says, here it is, he carried the book to the king in verse 16 and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. So everything was going smoothly. Renovations going great. And then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And note verse 19, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Somebody says, what does that mean? Why did he tear his clothes? You know, I do that without even trying a lot of times. I'll catch my pocket on a door and rip a hole in it. But what people back then would do to show their humility and try to humble themselves and to show that they're under great dress, they would take their clothes and literally just rip them, their robe, and it would be a sign of mourning and a sign of distress. Because here, when he heard the words of God, he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me. So instead of reading through this rest of this passage, you can go and see what happens. They go to a prophetess, Huldah is her name. They say, what's going to happen? Number one, before I go any further there, that on this discovery, I want you to notice the reaction Josiah had when he heard the word of God. See, the things that had been going on a lot of times, they didn't maybe realize they've been in such darkness. and they had been so far from God, when they actually saw the truth and the light was shown upon the truth, and when the word of God was read, it was horrifying. They were faced with their sin. The Bible says by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it makes it very clear. It's by the law is the knowledge of sin, and the light shines and it reveals the sin and the disobedience. Without the light, what's the light? The light is the word of God. We give that pledge in the morning, almost forgot it, but my wife reminded me, we give the pledge to the Bible. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The word, you know, it keeps us from stumbling. It shows us the way. Think about that cave again. Without light, where would we be? How could you ever hope to ever get out of it? I was thinking, if they cut the lights and those things never came on, we're never getting out of this place. I mean, we might be able to maybe feel onto some of the chains or something. I'd try, believe me. But so would all those other 200 people probably down there. That'd be a mess. I know that would be bad. But here, the light of the word of God was shined upon, it was revealed, and Josiah's reaction was, uh-oh, we are in big trouble. We got a big problem here. So he said, what's going to happen? And the word that came back to him was down in verse 24, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. I'm kind of suspecting they've got Deuteronomy chapter 28 out there. If you ever go back and read Deuteronomy 28, saying this, all the things going to happen to you if you turn away from God. I think probably he read that. He said, we are in big trouble. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest the words, his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eye see all the evil that I'll bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Wow, what a strong pronouncement. Now, I want you to notice, though, because Josiah humbled himself and because he rightly responded when he heard the truth, when he heard the word of God, he made the right choice. He didn't harden himself. Remember that other king in the Bible, the Jeremiah? They gave him the word and he was sitting in his house in the wintertime. The fire was burning, you know, and they said they got the word of God that Jeremiah had written and they brought it into him. And they started reading it before him, and he said, let me have that. He took it from him. He cut it up with his knife and threw it into the fire. He said, that's what I think of your, that's what I think. Wow, what a contrast, 180 degree difference as far as their response to the word of God. Question is how do we respond when the truth of God's word shines on our hearts? Do we take it like Josiah and say, wow, that's me? Or do we say, that's nonsense. I don't want to hear that. Get that away. And they ignore it. And by the way, that's what a lot of believers do today. They don't want to know what the Bible says. They want to be, Bible calls them willingly ignorant. Did you know that ignorance of the laws won't stand up in court? You so I didn't realize the speed limit was 35, officer. I thought it was 45. Guess what? You're going to get a ticket. And because you said the sign was posted back there. Well, somehow I missed it. Well, I'm sorry you missed it. Here's your ticket. Okay, so me, I don't get any mercy if they ever pull me over. People I know, they can get out of tickets. I can't. Okay, not that I've gotten many, but the time I got pulled over, I got a ticket. Okay, there was no mercy. So, and I deserved it, and I didn't try to talk my way out of it. My children will remember this story. My boys in particular, we had a great time fishing at Turquoise Lake. If you've ever been out to Turquoise Lake, we went camping there. I went fishing one day right where the inlet water comes in from the river, feeds the lake. out of the mountains, and I was taking a bobber and a fly. I'd never done fly fishing before, but I got these flies, and I cast them upstream, and they'd float down, and they'd get right by a rock, and boom, every time. And I'd get one, and I'd bring it in, and I thought, these are great. And I was throwing them in the live well, and the boys and I got done fishing, and I'm over there cleaning them before we leave because I want to clean the fish at the park there, and they have their little water spigot and area where you can clean fish before we load up the van and go back home. And as I'm cleaning the fish, I look over at this sign, and it said, to catch and release all cutthroat trout, you're not allowed to keep them. You have to return them. And I looked at that, and I looked down at the picture of the trout. I said, that looks familiar. And I grabbed that trout, and I said, uh-oh. I was having a great time. I was doing it ignorantly, because I was ignorant of the law. But once the law revived, it was shown to me, sin revived, and I died. I basically saw the sin, I saw that, and without, remember, the laws, the law is the knowledge of sin. And as soon as that sign appeared before my eyes and I read it, I said, uh-oh. So you said, what do? I said, wow. If they come right now, I said, I'll be paying, I don't know how much per fish, and I don't know how many fish I had. But I did it innocently. I mean, but ignorance is no excuse. I would have been fined, and I would have had to pay the fine. But what I'm saying is what happens to people today is they're ignorant of the Word of God. They don't know God's Word, right? They don't want to know. They're afraid what it might say because it'll condemn them. But the Bible says ignorance is, the Bible calls us people willingly ignorant. When a person stands before God, they're not going to have an excuse. I didn't know. I did. What's this? Can you read? Do you have any kind of relationship with the Bible? Now, thank God when we were lost, the Lord sought us out. We heard the Word of God. We realized we're sinners on our way to hell, and we cried out to God, and He saved us. It's the top of the list for this Thanksgiving. Thankful to God, I'm saved. Never have to worry about dying and going to hell. Thank God for that. So that's top of our list. We thank God for that. However, there are a lot of believers that don't know this. The Word of God is hidden to them. And I guess if you put a title on this message, it'd be like Lost and Found. It's lost for a lot of people. Now, Josiah, they found it. And when it was found, there was a great revival. I don't have time to go into the whole story, but he not only read it himself, he had it read to all of the people. He said, we're going to have an assembly. And they gathered all the people and all the leaders. And they said, read it. Read that now to everybody. And everybody stood there that had probably never heard it in their lifetime. Because think about it again. You're talking about how many years since Hezekiah? A long time. Two generations. So they're standing there for the first time. And I'm sure collectively in their hearts, they were like, uh-oh. They repented. Revival came. A great revival. See, there's no great revival that has ever happened without the Word of God. Okay, the importance of God's Word, it's so primary. And we have to find God's Word today. It gets lost in all of the hustle and bustle and busyness. It gets buried. You have things on your desk, and I have things on my desk it's on my desk, but I can't find them because it's buried with other stuff. And I finally, there it is. I've been looking for that for the last month, but it's just been right there on my desk. But it was under about four or five layers of papers or books and things that I acquire and throw on my desk. When they found the Word of God, they realized their sin, and they turned to God. Then the people, they were moved to make changes in their life. Dr. Curtis Hudson made a good quote. I would write quotes down a lot. I wrote it down from memory, what he said years ago when he preached in college. He said, light received increases light. Light rejected deepens night. If you want to know the truth of the Word of God and learn and understand, you receive the truth that you have and obey it and accept it and not reject it. Those that reject it are opening up themselves to false doctrine and other things when they reject the Word of God. But first of all, we have to find the Word of God and heed the Word of God. And if you look, Now I'll go ahead and have you turn there. You're in the chapter 34. Look down at verse 29 and 30. In chapter 34, verses 29 and 30, said, "Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood, they made a covenant, and the next chapter, they kept the Passover for the first time in I don't know how many years, and it says here in that chapter that there was no Passover like that kept since the time of Samuel, even unto that time. We're talking about Hezekiah, we're talking about all the other good kings. David, how did that stand out? Well, if you read that, it talks about how out of his own wealth he gave many, many animals, thousands they gave, and they had the Passover, and everyone was sent away with during this Passover time, here it was a time of great rejoicing, and the Passover was kept. And I think it's that was in the 18th year of his reign that the Passover was kept. So it was within that first year. He was 26 when they found the Word of God. And in that first year, right away, he says, we're going to start doing what's right. It made a difference. It made a change. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And what happens, the application, you say, well, what's all this today? How does the Old Testament, I mean, the book of Chronicles, what's it mean for me today in 2024? When we don't read the Bible, when we neglect the Word of God, we live in darkness because we don't know the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. You have to have knowledge of the Word of God to make wise choices. Wisdom comes from, you have to have something to draw upon to make a correct decision. When somebody makes a wise decision, to make a wise decision, you have to have all the facts to be able to judge and make a correct decision. In our lives as believers, we need to know what's in this book from cover to cover. We need to have the Word of God, and it needs to be primary. And so the challenge to each of us today is to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To get into the Bible, to read it, but not only to read it, that when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us, like it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It says, and as a discerner, or it's a critic, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows us. We can't pull anything over on God. We try to. We act like we can. We think one way and say, God's going to think. Are you trying to fool God? You can't fool God. And he knows us through and through. So he sees us as we are. All things are naked and open unto the eyes with him, of him with to him of whom we have to do. I misquoted that. Sorry, but it's close. So it's chapter 4, verse 13 of Hebrews. But here, when God speaks to us, we have to be like a Josiah. We need to humble ourselves. God showed him mercy because, remember, the prophetess came back with the word of God and told him, said, because you've humbled yourself, you're not going to see it come in your lifetime. God's having mercy on you because when you heard the truth, you responded correctly. I'd hate to be King Jehoiakim, who was the person that cut that up and threw it in the fire, which, by the way, it's hard for me to grasp this and understand it, was the son of Josiah, King Jehoiakim. You go back and read it in Jeremiah chapter 33. He was the king. He cut it up, threw it in there. And God said, no problem, Jeremiah, here, just get your pen and paper again and write it down again. I've got the original. So God gave him the copy and added some more to it. It's an interesting story. But so how do we respond to God's word today? The Word of God will totally revive a dead spiritual walk. A lot of believers today neglect the Bible. So the question is to each of us is, what is our relationship? How is our relationship with the Word of God? Is it primary? Does it have a first place? Is it at the top of the list and priorities that we have each day? To spend time, I don't care if it's the morning, I don't care if it's the night, I don't care if it's 2 a.m. Each day, we get with God. And it's not to read a schedule. It's to read the Word of God enough to where the Holy Spirit of God will speak to our hearts and we say, and we're faced with decisions. You can't read the Bible without making decisions. It's either going to soften your heart or harden it. There's no neutral ground. You know, the sun will melt wax, but it'll harden clay. And we need to be like the wax when the Word of God shines upon it and we hear the truth. We need to yield to God and be pliable in His hand. And so the Word of God will guide us and show us the way that we should walk in this dark world. And we live in a very spiritually darkened world. And if you don't have the knowledge of the Word of God to make wise choices, you're going to find yourself tripping up, falling flat on your face as a Christian. You say, I didn't see that coming. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Well, it's so clear to, if you're in the Word of God and you read it, you say, you know what? That's not even a hard decision to make. I see the Word of God makes that so clear. But other people just seem to say, I don't understand it. Well, the Spirit of God, thank God, if you're a believer, when you know the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, He's the author. You read the Word of God and ask Him to show you, and He'll show you. And He'll guide you into all truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to us, but we have to put it before our face. We have to read it. We have to be in it. We have to love it. We have to seek after it. Like, think about Josiah. He puts us to shame, doesn't he? 8 years old. 8 years old. He's seeking after the God of David. Who told him to do that? Well, he probably, like I said, he had some good people in his life. Thank God for that. And the people that we surround ourselves with, that's really important too, that we have the right people around us. The people, you should surround yourself with people that encourage you and push you towards the things of God, not people that discourage you. Man, if you're running with people all week long that are like, what do you read? What are you going to church for on Sunday? Why don't you do something, you know, worthwhile? Why do you read, what's that? Why do you read the Bible? You know, that's filled with a bunch of fairy tales, you know, how the whale swallowed Jonah and all those things like that. But they will mock it. And so don't run with people like that. You minister to people like that, but you don't run with people like that. You run with people that push you to God's house. They encourage you to read the Bible. Put it in your heart. Memorize it so that when something arises in your life, bing, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God can push that button. Why? Because you put it there by reading it. If you don't read it, you're going to be like sitting out there fishing away, man. I'm having a great time out here fishing, catching all these fine fish until the warden shows up. And it's like, I'd have been paying a lot of money. And that was still fun time fishing. But I know now if I ever go there again, I know what a cutthroat trout looks like. Back then, I just thought they were all rainbow trout. No excuse, right? No excuse. So today, As dark as it was in that cave, I kept thinking about a sin-darkened world. What would we do without the Bible? Really, how would we know where to go, where to turn? How to approach God, how to please Him? So the challenge to us all is if you've kind of let the Word of God slip down the list of your priorities and it's not been read faithfully, we need to get back and have a revival of the Word of God, because when we find God's Word again and we heed God's voice, the blessings come. Psalm chapter 1. We all love to read Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. To delight in it, by the way, you look forward to reading it. Do you look forward to reading the Bible, or is it like, oh, I got to read this again? Like preacher would always say, it's time to make the donuts. Do you do it that way? I hope, and we pray when you read the Word of God, you say, I'm looking forward to see what God had to say to me today. In the same passage I've read 20 times, you've done the same thing. You read it and say, I never saw that before. Because you're going through something different. It's a living book. And so it speaks to you where you're at. And meet your needs where you are for that time in that circumstance that you're in. Isn't it amazing how it'll seem like, I just read that today, and here all of a sudden something's coming. Well, surprise, surprise. You think God might have known that you were getting ready to face something like that? Yes, I believe that God's in control of things like that. But I'm saying what we have to do, the challenge to all of us, is to have a revival of the Word of God and to find it, put it before us, to read it, to heed it, to love it, to memorize it, to let us guide our steps so that we might be blessed. And Josiah, again, he's a hero of mine. I mean, that young man had it right. Once he read it, he took action. He took action even before it. But when he read it and he realized how he was condemned, he made adjustments. And God blessed him for it. God blessed him for it. So let's ask God today. You say, well, that doesn't sound like much of a Thanksgiving message. Well, that's tonight. You have to come back for that one, okay? But the message on the Word of God, you'll be thanking God. Number one, that should be at the very top of our list too, besides our salvation, is that God gave us his Word, that we might know his will. A Christian shouldn't be forever in the dark, scratching their head saying, I don't know what God's... We should know it. We should know the Word of God, and then he'll show you his way.